And I love each of you. Really do. We're moving. My back hurts. Really hurts. Been lifting too hot. Actually, Randy took me golfing Thursday, and of all things, I was just on a putt, and my back kind of went out. Just that putt just overloaded my... Randy said, excuses. Chapel North is great, and I want to talk to you, minister to you this morning from my heart. Really from my heart. And I'll read a scripture here in just a second, but I want to preach a message. And matter of fact, I probably preach two or three. You're used to that because Jared does it just about every Sunday. Those of you that are regulars here know what I'm talking about. If he prays at the close, that doesn't mean we're going to close. I'm just teasing. I want to talk to you today about a topic that I want to call, it's really two titles combined, from the oil to the gold, and trading your vessel for a miracle. How many brought a vessel today? Now, I know there was a lot of anticipation. I asked those of you that were here last week to bring a vessel. If you can, I know some of you brought some real... I think your vessels are a representation of your personality. I need you to symbolically turn that vessel up and dump it out. Because these are supposed to be empty vessels. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. The strategic movement of people is God's specialty. And in this case, I'm not really referring to myself, even though I'm moving. Just to name a few, Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was called to go out. God was strategically moving Abraham. Moses was a man born in an ark of bulrushes that God moved to the palace of Pharaoh. Joseph was a man that his brother sold over and over again. He seems like he would go from being the favored to the pit, from the pit to the prison, and from the prison to the palace. Joshua was the man that stood and looked over the promised land and realized that they could take the promised land. God was strategically moving him. Chapel North, God has set us, he has set you apart for such a time as this. And he has moved us. Those of you that have been here for a while, understand the move from Tussock Road or Tussock Road to Smothers Road and the favor and the miracle that it was that God would strategically move us. Here's an important point. Significant movements usually precede a great spiritual event in our lives. God did not move us from there to here for nothing. Or as my grandma used to say, for nothing. Significant movements, whether it's individual or collective, usually precede a significant spiritual event in our lives. Can you say this? God's about to do something in our church. Amen. These things are not revealed in a moment. They're often veiled in struggle. Always revealed in purpose. Because God is a God of purpose. Chapel North's move to this new location precedes a fresh purpose. And I believe a fresh fire. And it hasn't totally been, I believe, revealed the depth and the breadth of the move of God and the will of God and the purpose of God for you in this church. We are taking the first steps into the miraculous. Now, I don't know if you believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. You know, there's probably 100 million people that call Psychic Suzanne every morning. So why can't we call on God? If you believe a psychic can answer your needs, then surely you would believe that you can lift your hands and say to Jesus Christ, I love you, and you're going to meet every need according to your riches in glory. I believe that there's a time of the miraculous coming, and we are in it for this church. But I need to stop and explain to you, because there's confusion about what a real move of God is and what the real miraculous is. I'm not talking about a wilderness-style miracle. I'm not talking about the kind of miracle that you just go out and gather manna every day. And God provides you with just enough to get by, just enough food to get through the day. I'm not talking about the kind of miracle where your clothes don't wear out. Some of you would like that, probably need that just a little bit. Or where you even don't get sick. It sounds good, but it's not really the purpose of the church, and surely not the purpose of this church. The miraculous that I'm talking about is a miraculous that God doesn't initiate, but we initiate. You see, when they moved into the wilderness, Moses stood up, but God parted the water. But when they moved into the promised land, every step they took, they initiated the miraculous and the waters parted. I'm talking about something, Randy, that you initiate. And that you initiate. But I'm not talking about this kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of sloppy kind of thing. You know, some people relate Pentecostalism to high emotion and low devotion.
Oh, come on now. That's good.
I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm not talking about cheap grace. I'm not talking about financial blessings where there's no financial investment. Christ to live. We want Christ to live for himself through us, and we don't have to do anything about it. Amen, Brother Rick. Amen. We want to him to live for himself. Just let us do it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. I'm never going to fail. I don't have to worry about my clothes, my money, my this or that. But if you want to be blessed financially, you got to take a step financially. If you want to be blessed in time, you got to take a step in time. If you want to be blessed in your marriage, you got to invest and take a step in your marriage. If you want to be treated right, you got to treat somebody right. It's a specific type of the miraculous. Strategic movements bring us to strategic connections. Strategic connections turn into significant purpose. Glow, and brother and sister, your name just escaped me. She's my Facebook friend. I got her. She was praying for me because I fell off the horse and went to the emergency room. If you're on Facebook, you saw that post. The horse was dragging me till the manager of the Toys R Us unplugged the horse. But it's a significant thing that you're here.
Come on now. That's it.
Brother and Sister Carter, it's a significant thing that we've connected, and you connected with this church. You guys sitting here on the front, it is absolutely beyond my imagination and excitement to see you guys on the front row. Amen. It's a significant connection that has significant purpose. And it's significant that Christ took the time to bring you all and us all, or we-ins, or however you want to say it, together. So now I'm going to get really real. So now we move from what I want to preach about today, from the oil to the gold. Every man and woman's calling and gifting has a different impact upon the church. And each church has a distinct personality and culture of their own. It is God's plan to, through His Spirit, bring together a church and a ministry that can match heartbeats with Him. Amen. That can look at Westerville and Columbus the way He looks at Westerville and Columbus. With a heart after souls, with a heart after what God wants to do. If you think the miraculous is just God taking a dollar and turning it into $10, here's what I think. The miraculous is God taking a dark soul, one that doesn't have any hope, one that doesn't have any future, and saving them to the uttermost. That's the miraculous I'm talking about. How many have had some promises? I've had too many to name. But as with anything, promises fade. Time takes its toll upon our vision of why and what God intended for me and for us. If I took a poll here this morning and I asked you, are you where you thought God wanted you to be 10 years ago? Most of us would say no. And that's what I want to preach about tonight, today. That's that position between the oil and the gold. Between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. It's the process. It's the process. We stretch the promises of God like a rubber band until they're ready to pop. And they become clouded by trial. They become veiled in the struggles of life. It's like the children of Israel. You know, it was wonderful getting up every morning and going collecting that manna. It was great, Randy. Man, they get this. They said, you ought to taste this, Randy. It tastes like honeycomb. It's sweeter even than the honeycomb. But after they ate it every morning, and they ate it every morning, and they ate it every morning, and they ate it every morning, they were begging for some pizza from Egypt. Here's what happens. We come in and get saved, and God fills us and saves us. Right. Amen. And then the routine of that promise and the routine of that thing. And you got to get up in the morning and brush your teeth. You're brushing your teeth saved, but it gets to be a routine. And all of a sudden, that fire that you felt is still there, but you don't feel that same fire.
Come on. That's good.
It's different. It's all still there. It becomes a routine. The routine of living for God. The routine of being a godly man or a godly woman. The routine of being a husband. And you get so sick and tired sometimes of those children. And you say, if that son asked me one more time. I know nobody's ever felt like that but me. I didn't have any sons, so I know that wasn't me. But my daughter's here, so. But it becomes a struggle. Just a struggle. Because it becomes somewhat routine, and they become clouded. And even It's hard to find. And I watched some of you. I've had a bird's eye perspective up here sometimes singing in the praise team. Amen. And I see some Sunday mornings like today when there's great worship. Great worship. And some Sunday mornings when there's great preaching, anointed preaching. But this view that I have, I see some reaching, but they're reaching with a kind of a spirit of weakness because they're tired of the process. They're tired of that time between the oil and the gold. Amen. And some people are just so weak, they have a hard time. And I to be honest with you, I want to go help you raise your hands. I want to go help you lift your hands because this is what we have. And I see that. And let me read some scripture so you don't think I'm just talking. First Samuel chapter 16. And she's going to put it up. I've been going through vessels. I found vessels that I had packed that I haven't unpacked since Omaha. I haven't lived in Omaha about 12 years, so these things have been packed up a long time. But I was going through one, and this is my old Thumper Bible. Anybody know what a Thumper is? Now see, I'm the old school guy. I've been the bridge from what we were to what we are. I have been. I've been a connection to the old thing, but I have my feet in this new thing. I've known my place. It took me a while to get there, but I found this vessel. It's amazing what you'll find in a vessel if you start going through some of them. Yes, sir. Yes. We found keys. We found keys we didn't even know we had. There was probably 10 to the front door. Wow. Now, why anybody would need 10 keys to the front door? But we had 10 keys. First Samuel. Chapter 16. I'm talking and not going there. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. And then in verse 7, and the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. On the heart. And Jesse called Abinadab, wasn't him. He called Shammah, wasn't him. And Jesse made 7 sons to pass before Samuel, and it wasn't any of them. And he said, are all of your children here? He said, no. He said, David, the youngest, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, this is verse 11, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down until he come hither. And he sat down and brought him. Now he was ruddy and with all of a beautiful countenance and got goodly to look on. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is his anointing. He is anointed king. He's about 15 years old. He's anointed to reign over Israel. And I want to tell you, and I'm speaking now from a pastor's standpoint. For a church and a pastor, there's nothing more exciting. Or did it go off? That you have the blessing and anointing of God with you. I can only imagine what David felt like, Pastor. You know, he just anointed me king. I'm going to go get the throne right now. 15 years old, not a lot of wisdom. I'm going to go tell Samuel to get off of my throne. I was never more excited than when I stood at this point in life in ministry. It drives expectations and fuels us with a fresh fire. And if we will allow it, it will keep us through the process. However, we often make a mistake and think that all of God's promises are instantaneous. And we get lost in the process of time. This was for David the time between the oil and the gold. That great moment when Samuel called him out and anointed him as king until he finally set on the throne the gold. Sometimes, and this is important, promises represent an intended outcome or vision.
Right.
Not an immediate circumstance or expectation. Do you believe? Because I don't believe that God thought, well, I'm going to anoint him. I'm going to have a Samuel anoint him. And I want him to go right now. I don't believe that. But sometimes we believe in the process of time that God's going to give us a promise and give us an anointing, and we're just supposed to step right in.
Come on. That's good.
Because we want the promise and the purpose without the process. Woo, I can shout. We want to skip that part in the middle. We want to skip the growing up. We want to skip the maturing. We want to skip the morning prayer meetings. We want to skip the evening Bible studies. We want to skip coming to church. We want to skip the commitment and the character and the consecration that it takes. Yes. When I told you to bring vessels, this is not what you thought, is it? It's really not what I thought either, but it's what God wanted. David could have said, I am the rightful king. I've been chosen by God, so let's get at it and move over. I'll be honest with you, I had a little bit of that attitude my first time I pastored. And I hurt myself and I hurt others. Because I was trying to take an immediate possession of something without going through the process. David had taken down, killed the lion and killed the bear and taken down Goliath with a smooth stone in the name of the Lord. And David is brought to this most difficult time in his life. This time between the oil and the gold. And it was for him a time of heartache and a time of confusion. Here's what it is. Knowing God will do it, but wondering why God hasn't done it. It's here that lives are made and defined through the process of that in-between. Now, I want to ask you something, and I'm trying to reach into your heart. How many here in your life, God has given you great promises?
Yes. Yes.
He's given me great promises. Promises are sometimes like my Bible. It's a great Bible. I've preached hundreds, maybe several hundred, if not even 1,000 messages from that Bible. Back in the old days, folks, we used to have Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, Friday night church, and then we would make up a night to have church. And we would have singles and youth service, and then I would go preach someplace else because I didn't get enough. But we stack those things into a vessel. Just like we stack the promises of God away because time has passed and we forget them. They're not immediate. They're not right there. You know, when it's fresh, it's like, that's going to happen. But 2 months down the road, Randy, or 3 months down the road, or 2 years down the road, or 5 years down the road, all of a sudden, you just need a new promise. We really don't need any new promises, folks.
Come on.
I've had enough promises to stack from here to the moon. What we need is somebody to take that promise, empty that vessel out, and just lend it to God. I'm going to tell you, we'll get there. David is at his lowest point. And I don't think I gave you this scripture, but sorry. He's struggling. Saul is trying to kill him. Saul is jealous. Saul is slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And this jealousy grows into hatred. And Saul sends men to kill David. And David says to Jonathan, there's but one step between me and death. I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times in my life when I thought about quitting. I was one step. I don't know, maybe it just hadn't happened to you. It's a shock to find struggle on the heels of a spiritual victory or success. It's a shock to come here on a Sunday morning and feel the kind of worship we felt here today and then be spiritually attacked tomorrow. For some of us, it is. It's a shock to feel like you're ready to step into your destiny, to find that your destiny is delayed. Not delayed because it's something bad, but delayed because God's got a process for you to go through. It's a shock to find that after a great word, a great worship, a personal promise to you, that things are not just the way you think. Your wife looks at you and she gets that look on her face. And she says, can't you just take out the trash? You can worship God like nobody's business. Take out the trash like nobody's business. And you wonder, where has the Spirit gone? I wish not that it left me. But David's anointed king, but he is hiding in the fields. His circumstance does not reflect his promise or his anointing. You all know what I'm talking about. David is anointed king, but he's hunted in the mountains and in the wilderness, and he's forced to hide in caves. Does it change the promise? No. Does it change the anointing? No. He's between the oil and the gold. And that's where most of us are today. Don't get discouraged between the oil and the gold. It's easy to lose sight of God's promises, his intended outcome, when you're running for your life.
Right.
You know, it's different when you're preaching and pastoring and you're kind of living. You're living ministry. But when you're working outside of the church, and church is an aspect of your life, but not all of your life.
Come on.
You lose sight of what it looks like from out there.
Come on.
The view from the pew, so to speak. And you hear people preaching, they say, man, that sounds good, but does he have any idea?
Yeah.
Does she have any idea? You know, do you like to get, I don't know, to get, how many kids do you have? Three? Jesus help him, Lord, right here. Jesus touch him. I don't have any idea what it takes to get all of those kids ready in the morning. How many you got? God's great number, seven. Huh? Seven?
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But it's the process. It's easy to lose sight. Just trying to stay alive, living between the oil and the gold. Nothing had prepared David for this spiritual battle, the war for his hope, the war for his strength. the process of time between the oil and the gold. Let me tell you something, Chapel North. God's about to do a great thing. Don't get lost between the oil and the gold. God's about to do a wondrous thing. Don't get lost between the oil and the gold. God has moved us here with significance. Moved you here with significance. And with significance, there's significant connections. And with significant connections, there's significant purpose.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes.
What could be worse than wandering in between what you think is true and what you know is real in your life? So David comes to Ziklag. And if you want to read it, so you know I'm telling you the truth, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 4. Ziklag is the end of the line for David. And when they come back, they've been out doing what they feel like is the work of the Lord. You know, it's one thing if you're not doing right, but it's another thing if you're doing right and it doesn't work out right. You know what I mean? It's the end of the line. They had been attacked and they had suffered great loss. The city was burned. The women and children were taken. And let me just say this. When you're spiritually attacked, there's a couple levels of attack. One of it is physical property, the city. The other is heritage. Your sons and your daughters, your women and your children. So with nothing else, they wept. For David, this was the place of no return. It was his own men wanted to stone him. It would be like we get so sick and tired of Pastor Jared, we want to stone him. I'm just teasing. And the Bible says in the King James Version, it's very descriptive, the soul of the people was grieved because it didn't seem like this was right. It's not right that they're blessed and I'm not. It's not right that I've tithed for all this time and I don't seem to be getting ahead. It's not right that I'm sowing this and I'm doing this and I'm doing this and going here and I'm praying and I'm doing all this stuff. Where are you, God? It's here. It's a place between the oil and the gold. And I've been there. I've been there. I've been there when I resigned the church that I thought was going to be my future. I've been there when Renee died. God help us, we were standing, and I don't want to make Lisa cry, but I will make Lisa cry. We were standing there, singing in church, and she died with a massive heart attack, just like standing right here. And what was happening in my life didn't reflect the promises of my life. And I didn't understand it. But it wasn't lost. I was just between the oil and the gold. And then when Linda and I got married, she was so healthy. And I, you know, life, and I'm jumping ahead of myself. But you see, circumstances like this form in us vessels. Yes. And we put things in these vessels and hide them away. We put our grief in these vessels. We put our hurt in these vessels. The fact that somebody's abused me in this vessel. The fact that somebody has done me wrong in this vessel. The fear of loss. The financial loss. God, I went through, sister, you know we've talked a lot about credit reports. I went through some old credit reports and I just shredded them. I didn't even. Hide it away. I don't want to see that. And then I was telling Randy Thursday, you know, Facebook comes up with these memories. You know, my grief, and I tell people, you know, Kim is comfortable with me talking about this. I've been married 44, 45 years to three different women and never been divorced. I've been widowed twice. So I'm familiar with grief. And grief is something you can, it's like a wave, but you can compartmentalize grief. And you take it and you set it in a vessel and hide it away. So Facebook pops up with one of those memories. You know what I'm talking about? A Facebook memory. It's not really a memory. It's just an annoyance. But this day, it was your memory from 10/11/11. Now, for those of you that don't know, that was exactly 1 month before Linda died. And I remember, I was reading what I posted. And I posted, you know, she's having this test, and I think at that time she was having a CAT scan or something. And it brought back all of those. Here's what I think. I think a lot of us have brought vessels. Now, and I'm jumping way ahead, but I feel the Holy Ghost. You see, a vessel has a tendency, the vessel itself has a tendency to take upon itself the characteristics of its content. So if you put oil in certain types of vessels, the oil permeates the walls of that. And even after you empty it out, the vessel has the nature of what it contained for all those years. And I would venture to say that in this church, there are hundreds and hundreds of vessels of unfulfilled promises. And disappointments. I look at Brother and Sister Winters, we've shared. There's plenty of hurts to go around, isn't there? The danger is that sometime or another, we wouldn't take that vessel and empty it out. Empty it out. Just pour it out. And David came to Ziklag, and I'm going to hurry. And the Bible says they wanted to stone him. And David, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. It was about a month after or so after Linda died. I was standing alone in the closet, and I had to reach. You know, it was something that I had hid way down inside my spirit. Because I just didn't know. I didn't know what I could do or where I could go. And I had to encourage myself to the Lord, in the Lord. But the Bible says David called and asked, said, bring me the ephod. Bring me what represents the spirit of Almighty God to me. Bring me that thing that represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit to me. Right. So I had to deep down inside, God, whether or not this happens or this happens or this happens, my faith is not contingent upon my circumstance. Right. I know I'm going through a process, God, and I'm going to cling. Right. See, I think there's a remnant of fire burning in every one of us. And that brings me to this little widow woman. I really identify with her. And now you know why. 2 Kings chapter 4. If you'll put it up. Can somebody get me some Kleenex? You know, don't give me a handkerchief, brother. This will be Holy Ghost anointed from here on out. Now, this is 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons." Now, before I read on, this is a certain woman, and I believe that she also is between the oil and the gold. Her husband had been in service to the prophet. In some way, her family is an example of a good church family. They're ministering, but not ministry. Did you hear me? Not ministry. Their service to God was expressed in this work. It was their Chapel North, so to speak. It filled up their lives. And he died. And when he died, she was stuck between what could have been and what she thinks probably should have been. And she accused. She said, "He feared the Lord, and the creditors are coming to take my sons."
Right.
And Elisha says these words, "What do you have in your house?" God has a way of using the smallest things to perform the greatest miracles. God has a way of using the most insignificant things to do the greatest work in our life. God has a way of using the forgotten thing, the forgotten promise, the forgotten word, the forgotten anointing, the forgotten infilling. God takes what little we have and turns it into more than we need if we take those vessels and pour them out. She said, "All I have is a pot of oil, a little cruse of oil. Some have gone about life in such a manner that our experience with Christ was set upon a shelf and forgotten. My relationship and his promises to me were all confined to this small little bitty vessel." And then God gives her direction, and that's just where we are this morning. Go borrow vessels, empty vessels, and borrow not a few. He didn't tell her what to do with the vessels or what would happen to them, just borrow them. And I want to close with this, and I promise I'm telling you the truth. The reason Pastor and I don't see eye to eye is because I'm about 6'8" taller than him. That's the only reason. She's left with two kinds of vessels. One, the small cruse of oil, then all the empty vessels her son could borrow. My question to you this morning is, you see, the process of your life has formed in your life vessels. And in those vessels, you have kept things that you did not want anyone to touch, anyone to see, anyone to know. For whatever reason, even though it's not a failure, sometimes we are ashamed of the process of life. We want to hide the hurt away in this vessel. And when we're moving, I was down in the basement sorting through stuff, and there was a box marked Christmas. It was a vessel marked Christmas. All the Christmas stuff was in there. And there was a vessel marked kitchen. We haven't had that kitchen, hadn't been in that kitchen for 10 years, but there was a vessel marked kitchen. And we've hauled it around for about 2 moves. But now it's at Goodwill. So there was a vessel marked books. Here's what I think. Some of you have a vessel marked failure. Some of you have a vessel marked hurt. Some of you have a vessel marked betrayal. Some of you have a vessel marked loss. Some of them just marked old promises, old clothes, old promises. Some of my vessels were vessels of faith and hope, but it's not always been that way, and it's not always that way. I have vessels of grief, vessels of loss, vessels of poverty. And here's what he told them to do. You see, this is our house. This is our house, right? This is our house. Bring them into the house. We brought them to the house. Borrow vessels. I've borrowed as many vessels as I can today. I ask everybody to bring vessels. I want you to empty them out. We've already emptied them out. And then we're going to take the one vessel she has that has the promises of God, and the empty vessel that has the things that the process has created in you, and we're going to pour one into the other. We're going to pour a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost into your spirit. And God's going to take your grief. He's going to take your hurt. He's going to take your pain. He's going to take your feeling, and he's going to renew. There are men in this house today that have felt a call to ministry, and God wants to renew that call. Pastor said that he wasn't going to replace me. Well, I'll tell you what I've done. Now, I felt like that I'm not the pastor, but I was called to this church. So over the last week, I have gone to men and women, and some of you know who you are, and I have anointed you, and I have delivered what God gave to me to you.
That's awesome.
Because we believe in impartation.
Yes, we do.
And it's done by the laying on of hands.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, let's stand together. I want to close with just a couple of principles. The quantity of vessels is only important. The quantity of vessels is only important in the natural realm. Now, this is Sutterfield 5 and 9. The size of the vessels are only important in the natural realm. All you need is to bring your vessel to God, and he'll fill it. Because it's about your faith today. It's about your faith today. Jesus. I just felt the wave of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus, right now, I ask you to touch. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong, Lord God, and I feel a ministering spirit, a comforting spirit. God, there are those here that are afraid to release. They're afraid to take that empty vessel and bring it to that vessel of anointing and allow you to pour into it once again. God, help us not to be discouraged by the process. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to come and bring your vessel and surrender to God. But remember this. He said, shut yourself in and pour yourself out. And that's what we need to do right now. Come up here, shut yourself in, and pour yourself out. Bring your vessel. Symbolically, bring your vessel. Amen. And come right now. Bring your vessel. Shut yourself in and pour yourself out. Jesus, in your name.